Good morning, everyone. This morning we'll be looking at the adult Sunday school lesson found in Hebrews. The title of this lesson is Persevering by Faith. Our scripture this morning will be taken from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which we'll be reading in full, and in verse 3 of the 12th, 1 through 3 of the 12th chapter. So I would call your attention to God's word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And thus comes the ending of the passage for the lesson this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a powerful message we have just read. It tells us of men and women who through great peril survived because they had faith in God. They went through persecutions, tortures, and even death. And yet they did not see the promise that was promised to them. And yet they still believed because they had faith in God. And they persevered even to the end. Father, help us this morning as we study this lesson to understand why even we can persevere as they did. Show us how we can stand and not falter and honor the God of all the patriarchs through the Bible, the God that is still present and still working today in our lives. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope all of you have a copy of your quarterly this morning that you can look at. If not, you can look at some of the verses of Scripture as well. You know, we live in a culture today that celebrates faith. Now, this is a very different faith from the book of Hebrews that is being celebrated, of course. That's a well-founded belief in unseen realities. It's been promised by God. And now, in pursuit of a greater reward yet to come, our only hope is to be found in the inheritance that is stored up for us in Christ. Yet that future inheritance is secure and it's certain. And the reason is that God has promised it to us with an oath. Christ has already run the race of faith as our pioneer. He is even now seated at the right hand of God. He is encouraging us with the assurance that where he is, there too we shall ultimately be. So if we look back to the Old Testament about faith in the very beginning, what is faith? Well, faith is, we're told, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And our culture's belief that you do anything you think you can is different from this kind of faith that the people in the Old Testament had. You know, faith is, it's not a warm feeling. It's a well-founded conviction in a solid object. And only as does faith have the power to enable the saints to persevere in pursuing God when everything in this world is against us. But it's this faith that the saints of old received their commendation. You know, since many of these Old Testament saints died for the sake of their witness to God, they in turn received God's witness on their behalf. You know, faith is, I guess, foundational to every understanding of the world. You know, the modern people of the world today only understand creation by means of science. People in the world rely on faith that the scientists are correct. And their understanding when they attempt to reconstruct the historical scenarios about the beginning of the world, and you don't have to go far to hear that. We are inundated by all of the theories of creation, of which we as Christians do not believe, cannot accept. You know, most modern people have not worked any of the equations of Einstein, or we have not observed any of solar eclipses that help us to understand the world. And so we sometimes believe things that perhaps are not what the Bible would have for us to believe. You know, in all our scientific endeavors, we rely in a large measure on the work, and we hope it's well-founded, of others. But you know, as Christians, we have a more reliable source than all of the brilliant modern scientists and eyewitness account by the Creator himself. If we look in Genesis 1 through 2, you know, it shows us his working in making the universe out of absolutely nothing. You know, we look at some of these people from the Bible. We know that Abel was the first of the martyrs, and he lost his life because of his faithfulness to God. Enoch was blessed by God, we're told, because he walked with God. Noah, in the time of the great flood, was mocked. He was ridiculed for building a boat by faith because he believed God's warning of the wrath that was to come and destroy the world. Then there was Abraham, the great patriarch. He probably, in this chapter, receives the longest single treatment. And he believed God's promise of land and offspring. And what did he do? He left his homeland and dwelt as an alien and a stranger in the land of Canaan. And he waited for God to provide him with a son. And then, after receiving that son, he was willing to sacrifice that very same son in obedience to God's command. So it's worth noting that the focus on the end of life faith of each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the writer of Hebrews is really summing up all of these witnesses to us as an encouragement, an encouragement to persevere. You know, these holy men and women, because Sarah was one of them, they persevered to the end in their faith. Now, these promises that we find in Hebrews here, they're not ultimately fulfilled physically in terms of a certain piece of land in the Middle East, but rather in spirituality in a heavenly city. So the land promise that we find given to Abraham didn't mean a restoration of ethnic Israel to territory in the Middle East, as many would have us you to believe. But it really finds its fulfillment in the heavenly home. That heavenly home that God is preparing for all of the spiritual descendants of Abraham. That's namely the church. We need to realize that. There's so much emphasis today in the world to dwell on the fact that Israel, the state of Israel, is the Israel that God is talking about in the Bible, which it's not, it's the church. It's not about something that's going to take place there in rebuilding a physical temple on the spot where the Dome of the Rock is. It's not about that. It is about the church. It is about that Israel. And we need to be focused on that as we study this. You know, Moses is a classic example of someone who set aside all the rewards that he could have had at his feet, the riches of Egypt, in favor of a longer-term reward of serving God. So the writer of Hebrews is really painting with a broad brush. And he's focusing in a way which Moses' actions came about from faith. He identified himself with the oppressed of his people rather than with their Egyptian oppressor. You know, people often stumble over the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. These men are far from heroes in the book of Judges. In fact, they failed God in many ways. But you know, each one of them in his own way demonstrated great aspects of genuine faith in God's promises. In the midst of a very dark time for God's people, we know they were at the brink of being destroyed. And God called these men to come forward to save his people. And they did so. Then, of course, there was some like Daniel and his friends miraculously escaped from their ordeal. Some endured mockery and scorn for maintaining their faith. And others paid for their faith with their lives. This world was not worthy of them, as it says in verse 38 of the 11th chapter. This world was not worthy of them. They have received their reward. And none of them now regrets their costly faithfulness. Yeah, these saints, they form a great cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses that stand on the sidelines cheering us all on, asking us to set aside all the encumbrances and press onward toward the heavenly goal. And our hope is really not fixed in the strength of our own running, but rather the central part of our running is to turn our eyes away from ourselves, fixing them on Jesus. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And it's in his faithfulness in which our faith rests secure. And in reality, then, our faith has a firm anchor upon which to rest. You know, the world, which looks at athletes in our country with great reverence, they look at an underdog athlete or team that wins by believing in themselves, we're told. But biblical faith, quite different. It looks away from ourselves to God. The author of Hebrews, you notice, skipped over Adam and Eve. They were supposed to live by faith in God's word. When God declared his judgments after the fall, we know that Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. And that showed faith. So they did have faith. He believed in God. And all of these people that we've talked about, they form that cloud of witnesses. As I said, they're cheering us on as we run the race of faith. They've already completed their race and completed it successfully. And you know, they had far less revelation of God than we do. So we are without excuse if we fail to persevere. The reality is that each of us really fall short of faith in our lives. We slip into unbelief on a daily basis. And it's encouraging that many of these model believers also had feet of clay as well. Abraham, he entered the promised land by faith in the beginning of chapter 12. And he left it in unbelief before the chapter was done. Gideon didn't believe God was really with him. Even after both of the signs he gave him involving the fleece. But later, he only believed God's promise after hearing one Midianite recount to another a crazy dream he had had. And then he knew. And he believed. So these models of faith that we read about or themselves not really saved by the quality of their faith. None of us are. But by the one in whom their faith rested. And that is why we need to fix our eyes not on the cloud of witnesses, but on Jesus. We're told that faith consists of persistent hope in the promises of God. And it is that such faith that obtains salvation on the last day. Well, that should create assurance. Assurance means something hoped for. Well, I'd have to say that biblical faith is really not a vague hope that would be grounded in some kind of imaginary, wishful kind of thinking. But it's faith, it's settled confidence. Confidence that something in the future, something that is not yet seen, but has been promised by God, will actually come to pass because God will bring it about. And that's the kind of faith we must have. It's not an unknowingly leap into the dark, so to speak. But biblical faith is confident trust in the eternal God, the God that is all-powerful, infinitely wise, eternally trustworthy. And it's His promises that have proven true from generation to generation, and who will never leave nor forsake His own. We talk about the people of old, and those that have been listed in this lesson today as examples of faith, they receive commendation in the form of a good testimony from God. You remember when God talked about Job and He talked about David. He gave both of those men commendations. He said, Job is a upright man, one that has faith. He said that David is a man after my own heart, but yet they both failed. They were both sinners. Excuse me. So, we have to look to a God that created the universe by His word, an all-powerful God. He created everything from nothing. Now, He's really saying that God didn't make the universe out of any kind of pre-existing matter, as we as humans know that. And that's pretty close to saying He made it out of nothing. It only took His word to create everything as we know it, and all that we don't even know as yet. That vast universe that has no end. Let's talk about some of the primary characters in here. Abel being the first martyr. Abel's sacrifice, we're told, was acceptable to God, while Cain's was not. And if we go back and read that, the story of Abel's faith is recorded in the Bible. It still speaks to generation after generation. You know, the faith of all those Old Testament saints was effective, but only because of the future sacrifice of Christ. And we know that. Enoch was taken up, we're told. But we're also told that Enoch walked with God, so he had faith. There were certain patriarchs that pleased God. Of course, Enoch was one, and Noah, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Joseph. Well, as is we've discussed, faith includes belief in God's existence. And that's especially in God's trustworthiness, that he will keep his promise and he will reward all his followers. Noah had a reverent fear, where an attitude of that, such as that, is commended. And that was in saving his household. He wanted to save not only himself, but his family as well. God condemned the world surrounding Noah. That meant that Noah's righteousness, obedience to God, showed, just in contrast, just how sinful the world was when it rejected Noah's message to them. Then there was Abraham. He was told to leave Haran and go to Canaan, and he obeyed, not knowing what lay ahead of him. And then there was Sarah. Sarah apparently laughed in unbelief when she was told she would bear a son. But you know, Sarah apparently had a change of heart, as her laughter became a genuine expression of joy at the birth of Isaac. They died in faith. They were faithful even unto death. Not having received Abraham and Sarah, never saw the promise that God gave to them, but yet they were faithful to the end. The author of Hebrews says that the people that he has mentioned were seeking a better heavenly country, which would be their true homeland, not Canaan, but a heavenly country. That would be their homeland. That old song that says, "I'm just passing through. This is not my home." If you can sing that song and truly believe those words, then you're on the right road to faith in what God has promised. Abraham was tested. His faith was tested in a dramatic way. But you know, Abraham expressed confidence that he would return with Isaac. And yet God asked him to kill him and sacrifice him on that altar. But Abraham believed that he could even raise him from the dead if that was necessary. That was faith, true faith. So when we look at all of these people that are in this passage that didn't receive what was promised, in fact, most of those mentioned in this chapter, they only saw glimpses of what was promised, but they were all anticipating a greater future hope. And that's what we are to do as well. We are to believe that. And we're told in that verse 1 and 2 of the 12th chapter that in light of all of the previous examples of faith, and especially in the light of Jesus' own model of endurance, that believers are called to endure as runners in a race. And we're told that Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. You know, the cross of Christ represents the greatest suffering in history, because Jesus not only suffered physically, but he also experienced God's wrath when he took it upon himself, the sins of the world. But still, the promise a future reward and joy gave Jesus strength to suffer, despising the shame. So we're asked to consider him. Jesus endured. And that emphasizes perseverance. I'll always remember a statement that an old Baptist minister many years ago, still a young man, occasionally go back home to church where I was raised, Union Church, where Presbyterian Baptists all went to the same church. So we always went to the Baptist service as well. Brother Jody Moore, Baptist, old Baptist preacher. He'd retired many years before, but he'd come back and preach there some. He always made a statement. I sort of laughed at it at the time because he always made it. He'd be flipping the pages of the Bible back and forth and talking, and then he'd say, but we've all just got to keep on keeping on. Well, at the time, I didn't think about it, what that really meant. But now I understand what he was saying in more common words. We must persevere to the end. We must keep the faith. That's a great message. And that's what this lesson is all about. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at ourselves in the mirror this morning. We see a faithless face. We see ourselves in unbelief so many times. And yet we have a promise that has been made to us to persevere. We recover from those sins because we are forgiven by Jesus' own blood and his righteousness. Lord, help us. Give us the grace to have faith and to persevere. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake this morning. Amen. Thank you.